You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit SOEXinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders, and we're the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. We are brought to you by the wonderful technical abilities of Ethan Huffnagel, our executive assistant to the regional producer. Some say that revenge is a dish best served cold. Well, we believe that so is the news, because it gives it a chance to marinate and we can write better jokes and get some more context, not just the initial headline or whatever story might be out there. I think sometimes the 1 month update is better. So that's our
that's our one month update.
Love Seriously, it. How many stories have you seen where they're like, "Oh, initial reports say," but they're still investigating?
Well, yeah, it's like the initial reports say this thing happened, and you're like, "Cool, I would like some context."
Right, and then they never do a follow up story on it because there's no more. They just don't care enough. They have to actually do journalism, and it's not sensational anymore to say, "Oh, this is what actually happened. Here's the investigative report." Anyway, we've got some older news stories tonight that I think are a lot of fun. If you enjoy this podcast, help us out with the algorithms. Like, subscribe, share, review. That all helps us out. And also, if you want exclusive early access as well as live interaction with us during filming of the show and Q&A, you can go sign up and be a patron on Patreon.
There we go.
Go to patreon.com/switchcast. That's patreon.com/switchcast. Tyler, what is fueling this podcast?
Well, tonight I've got a Starlight whiskey finished in honey barrels that was picked up at a liquor barn in Kentucky.
Is that better than the Jack Daniel's honey stuff, whatever it is?
Yes.
Because that's pretty disgusting.
Is trash. This is fine. I'm not sure I'm sold. It's a little sweet. But I think they did a good job. This is not Starlight's fault. I just think maybe a honey finish thing ain't my jam.
All right.
Ethan, how do you like it? You've poured yourself some.
Haven't tasted it yet, bro.
So you'd say it maybe isn't the bee's knees? I'm drinking sparkling water, Aldi sparkling water with organic cranberry juice.
Nice.
Pure cranberry juice. I don't know, whatever it is. So, yeah, sparkling water is bad for my urinary tract, and the cranberry juice is good for it. So it's like cancels it out.
I've really started enjoying those hint of lime Topo Chicos, and every time I crack one open, I have to ignore the little Doug Tabbitt on my shoulder that says, "This is bad for you." Like, get out of here. I like sparkling water.
Let's do a little market update, since we don't do those in the big segments anymore, or not very often. A Roof RCT Evo sold on Bring a Trailer just recently. Baltic Blue, I think it was. $583,000.
Spicy.
The previous sale was $150,000 just a couple years ago.
Now, as a roof?
Well, no.
Oh.
Roofs have gone up in value quite a bit thanks to one particular investor, we'll say, who has bought up every single one of the available supply, and the market has responded. We'll put it that way. So they bought it as a stock 964 for $150,000, sold it for $580,000. However, the conversion cost about $430,000. So the real winner here is Roof.
Oof.
But whoever said mods don't increase value, if you do the right mods, they do. Just never as much as the mods cost.
Now, I know that technically this is a modified 964, but I think saying it's mods is maybe a little it's not given credit. Like, the Roof badge in engineering carries a lot of weight. Somebody slapping a K&N on their 966 or 996.
But it gives you 15 horsepower.
I can hear the intake.
Yeah, not a fan. In other Roof news, I think the most anybody has ever spent on a 996 happened. As far as I know, the first Roof 996 sold on Bring a Trailer. RGT.
I don't think it was the first one to sell on Bring a Trailer. I may be wrong, but...
Oh, it was like the first U.S. one, I think. And it was sold by Roof North America. It was a wonderful looking car, but $306,000 is a whole lot of money for some fried eggs.
I remember when I sold a Roof RGT way back in the day for $70,000. And a GT3 was about 65, so that was the premium for an RGT over a GT3 at the time. I wish I could have that transaction back. I sold that car at least twice also less than $80,000.
Ugh.
6 months in, we do a yearly cost of ownership update. How much does it really cost to own European/sports cars? 6 months in, it's... not super expensive so far for me because I really didn't start driving our summer cars until about 3 months ago. The Diablo, surprisingly, has only been 200 some odd bucks so far.
Nice.
But it's currently broken.
Well, I was going to let you just have that.
Yeah, I was thinking I spent $50,000 on it last year. I'm going to be good for the year, but not quite. The 997 was at it was at $400 for an oil change, but that one also just got unbroken crankshaft position sensor.
Nice.
But so far, until I get the bill for the Diablo, my wife's Mercedes E-Class is the most expensive one.
Really?
We're at $900 for the year, and that one's broken too. The top hydraulics failed the other day.
Ooh. I'm seeing dollar signs. Seeing dollar signs. You have me beat so intensely. So I don't have these documented. I'm a little underprepared, but I got this based on memory. So I've put about 4,000 miles on my wagon since the end of last year, 4 or 5. And I'm probably, I'm a couple of grand into that. And I had to replace some brake calipers and do some other business that I should hopefully never have to do again. Mm. The 996, unfortunately, is now sitting at 107,000 miles.
Nice.
And I think I've put like $5,000 into it so far this year.
Ooh, yeah.
Brand new shocks. I had to fix a failing micro switch in the passenger door because my fiance couldn't get in and out. The window
Window didn't auto drop.
So apparently that was just annoying. An expensive part. So I'm feeling the heat a little bit, but that's all right. Running well.
Yeah, I've just deferred everything. So I'm at zero. The Excursion's been free. The Maroon 6, the 79911 has been free.
Have you driven
the
Maroon
Corvette
6
has
at
been
all?
Free. Yes, I have. I've driven all of them.
Nice.
Actually, a fair amount. The Diablo was free until a couple weeks ago, and that has looming expenses. And the 911 has looming expenses because I also found some rust.
Oh.
And the brakes are like on their last leg. So,
yikes.
Let's see. Last update. So the next car I'm trying to add to the fleet is a Dynan S2 BMW Z8. And I ran across a license plate on a car that was sold to Enthusiast Auto Group a few years back. But when I decoded the plate trying to get the Z8 VIN, it came back to a Jaguar S-Type.
What?
I've seen some bad trades on the internet, but somebody apparently traded in a Dynan S2 BMW Z8 for a glorified Lincoln LS.
Man, that's oof. Somebody's feeling some regret for sure.
Jim, what's his name, would say that's a bad trade.
That's
what's the guy who does stocks?
Kramer.
Jim Cramer.
Oh, is that like the crazy sweaty dude?
Kramer would predict that it would have been a great trade a month before it happened, though.
Producer Ethan with the facts.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Nissan North America, not Nissan Engineering. Nissan is in fairly big trouble. And actually, I want to see, does Nissan still not own Nissan.com?
Wait, was that it?
Oh, no. They don't. Yep. No. Nissan.com is an obituary for somebody. It used to be an engineering company in the U.S. They're in a big legal battle with Nissan Corporate because Nissan Corporate said, we own this domain name. And it was just a whole big back and forth. But I don't think Nissan has enough money to fight that legal battle right now. According to an article on Reuters, Nissan is doing what a lot of its Altima drivers are doing. It's trying to not pay its bills. It's asking its suppliers if they can be on terms.
I will now say that's on the up and up. They're at least asking for it. I think the typical Altima driver would just let things languish.
Right. Nissan's going to be a subprime borrower. They have 28% interest on these things. But
in December of 2025, will Nissan even be able to buy an Altima on finance, Doug?
Nissan's global sales have fallen 42% since 2017. Their products are struggling. According to this article, they're quoting Julie Boot, an analyst at research firm Pelham Smithers Associates. They said they don't have a hybrid lineup. Their battery electric vehicles are not particularly successful. And I do not believe they have a plug-in hybrid. Yeah, they don't have any hybrids. They are struggling to reinvent themselves and cut costs. But it is not looking awesome. Because those new product launches and development on new powertrains take time. This coming on the heels as well of Nissan failing to make a deal with Honda. That kind of looked like their saving grace, that Honda was going to come along and bail them out. But the discussions broke down because Nissan was against becoming a Honda subsidiary, according to MotorOne.com.
Are they in a position to have such an opinion?
Yeah. I don't know about that. I feel like it's a little presumptuous. I feel like that's like Altima owners yelling at the repo guy for taking their car.
Yeah.
Don't steal my, give me back my car. They don't have any cards to play there. I mean, Honda had, I don't know, but I was thinking about that though. And somehow, if memory serves me correctly, the reverse merger where the company in trouble bought out the strong company worked for United and Continental. I don't know if that was 10 or 15 years
ago. Yeah, that
was
a long time ago.
Continental was a fantastic airline and their balance sheet was really strong. And United was like on the verge of bankruptcy. They were struggling. And instead of Continental buying United out, United bought Continental because they wanted their balance sheet, and so it made United's numbers look better.
Nice.
So, and they totally ruined, like, United did not improve, obviously, yes. Because when you're doing things wrong that cause you to go broke, getting more money and doing more of those things doesn't fix you.
Yes.
But I really was hoping Continental would buy United out. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe Nissan was thinking, so yeah, we can buy Honda.
Yikes. Well, and what's wild to me is I'm on NissanUSA.com because, as we've mentioned, Nissan.com does not have their vehicles. They make so many different crossovers and SUVs, and I can't tell you the difference between any of them. They still make the Murano, though, Ethan. Don't you worry. That's still kicking. And, you know, so I was clicking through, and they make, you know, a handful of cars. Obviously, the Altima's in there. But on the sports cars thing, everybody knows the R35 has been around for over a decade at this point. Like, almost two decades, I feel.
Wait, they're not still making the R35, are they?
It's on here, GTR, starting at
100. Didn't they make the final edition 4 years ago, and then the final edition?
Yeah, we're due
for
the...
And then the we're really done edition?
We're due for a no seriously guys time, this time we promise edition soon. Next year, I think.
Yeah.
So the other thing, a new GTR is $121,000. That's so much money.
It's like, it's as long in the tooth as the NSX was in 2005.
Yeah. Oof. And then the Z. The Z is such a gorgeous car, in my opinion, but it is so...
It really is.
When they promised it was going to be $30,000 for V6 manual transmission sport, I was like, I'm interested. And then to get a good one, it was always over 40. And now they start at 43. So, struggling.
It's still cheap-ish in this market. But the Z is not going to save them. They can't sell enough niche market. Well, yeah, that's not a niche market sports car, but they can't sell enough sports cars to recover the company. They need driver cars. They need to sell the next Altima.
And the important thing for driver's cars is reliability and solid engine engineering, right, Doug? Like, they really...
Right. Where are you going with this, Tyler?
Well, you see, that's not working out so hot either. So Nissan has recently recalled almost 500,000 vehicles for engine failures. For vehicles, a few different actual models, but ranging from the early 2020s up until now, their VC turbo technology, which is a variable compression turbo engine that allegedly lets you have power when you need it and efficiency when you don't need the power, those aren't doing so hot.
Is that like the old, what was it, Cadillac that first had the engine that would have cylinders that would shut off?
Oh, yeah, and like their trucks and stuff?
I thought it was in their cars.
Oh.
But I remember the early version of that technology was horrendously unreliable as well.
It's like when you make something really complicated, you're going to have some teething issues. So apparently this is for specific engine bearings or supporting engine components, very vague, that could lead to damage and or engine failures.
As if they weren't crappy enough with their CVTs already.
Gosh, they're struggling.
They are struggling.
I feel like at the moment, Nissan is embodying the Altima that's rocketing down the highway at 90 with three donuts, a bumper that's flapping in the wind, and a temp tag and a tinted rear window. It's not looking good.
There are a lot of parallels right there. But in order for them to get back on pace, they need new, good, hot-selling products. And not having a hybrid right now is a problem. Toyota has leaned heavily into hybrids, and actually Toyota and Nissan talked about some sort of a partnership or a merger, but apparently that broke down quickly as well. And now, in order to bolster their hybrid lineup, Nissan is partnering with Mitsubishi Motors for development of a plug-in hybrid, which is interesting to me. At first, I thought that was like, you know, Sears looking to Ames for, you know, help with retail sales. But then I looked up, Mitsubishi actually is like, that's a good comeback story right there.
Really?
Yeah, they are up year over year for the last couple years in sales. They are kind of turning it around, which really surprised me. But still, their reputation, their cars are kind of ugly. They're the off-brand car. Like, if you look at their franchise stores, they're like,
they look so depressing.
They're so depressing. And it's like they're teamed up with used car dealers, right?
Yes.
It's not like it's a Mitsubishi, Honda, Mercedes store. It's, you know, Frank's Used Cars and Mitsubishi franchise.
And the Mitsubishi lot is like half empty and there's like nobody in the sale, like in the showroom. I will say though, to Mitsubishi's credit, they have like maybe a quarter as many cars on sale today as Nissan. So there's some level of focus that is happening.
Yeah.
That I think could be helpful.
Sure. But still, I still got to poke fun, right? Because the reputation of Mitsubishi, like for Nissan to pass on Honda and team up with Mitsubishi, that's like breaking up with Beyonce because she wants you to put a ring on it and then dating Roseanne because she doesn't want commitment.
I will say you can still get a brand new Mirage for 17 grand.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's why they're selling. That's the new Altima right there.
That is the perfect compact hatchback for commutes, getaways, and just about everything else.
Hmm. And everyone's approved.
39 miles per gallon.
What? Now,
I know.
Is that their plug-in hybrid?
No, this is, I'm pretty sure.
Come on.
Is just.
Come on. Oh. 39 miles to the gallon in a non.
Yeah, it's got a CVT. That's all I can. You can get one with motorsports. 39
miles to the gallon is really no big deal. Honda Civics did that 20 years ago. I'm just saying, like modern cars, 39 miles to the gallon is a big deal.
So that could mean. Now, I don't know how safe this thing is in a crash, but smaller, more economical vehicles work. And it turns out when you make everything 7,000 pounds, they're a little less efficient. Ooh, you can get one with motorsport stickers. Get a rally yard on your Mirage.
All right, we must move on to our popular and neglected segment, Corvette Curmudgeon. That's right. Hank is back in the house. Tyler, what do we have to bring out the ire of Hank tonight?
Yes. So this is a we had to invite him special. He doesn't like to come around much anymore. I guess I upset him or something. I don't know. When I sold the Corvette, our relationship got rocky.
The weather has to be good.
That's true. So recently on Bring a Trailer, there was a Lingenfelter 383 powered 1998 Corvette convertible with a 6-speed, which is pretty similar to Hank's car, I think. Unfortunately for this car, it's in finished in a rather boring Sebring silver metallic. You know, it's got a Corvette branded front plate cover. Love it. Pop-up headlights. Amazing quad exhaust, of course. Damage to the front right is said to have been repaired in the late 1990s after an incident during a test drive following a dealership service.
And what an idiot.
Oh, hi, Hank.
That's why I never take my car to dealers for the service. And if I do, I put a sign on it that says, don't you dare drive my car or wash it.
Apparently, there was structural damage to the front of this car in 1999.
Well, I hope that guy got fired.
Hopefully.
That owner should have been fired from the Corvette Club, too, for letting somebody else get behind the wheel of his precious pride and joy.
But honestly, Hank, this car might be okay. It's got 82,000 miles on it now.
Goodness gracious. I only have 8,200 miles on mine.
And I bet it's perfect. So actually, Hank, how much?
Never seen rain.
How much do you think this sold for?
Oh, goodness. What? It was a 1998?
Yep.
Same year as mine, but mine's perfect. All bone stock other than the Corvette extra logos on it and the Corvette logo taillight covers and the Corvette bra.
Yes.
But, yep. Oh, goodness. I'd structural damage. Oh, man. Nobody's going to want that. It's modified, too.
Yeah.
I'd say $5,000.
Well, Hank, it sold for $18,000.
What?
Yeah, 18 grand.
That's probably a fake transaction.
I don't know. It's got some bids.
$18,000. Mine's probably worth 50 then.
50?
It's never been wet.
Hank, it's a C5. I don't think any C5
it's
is.
It's modified and wrecked.
It's
been driven by more than one person. Worthless.
Wow. If you say so, Hank, you might be onto something. In the future, who knows? But yeah, that was, we love seeing, I guess, people drive their cars, but it's kind of wild that this thing has been going with structural damage from the early 90s.
So on a serious note, I'm going to be the real Hank right here.
Oh boy.
I don't think I've ever seen another Lingenfelter 383 C5 sell.
Okay.
I've seen Callaways and Mallets.
Do they
sell.
All not meet reserve because everybody thinks they're worth 100 grand?
I don't know if I've ever just seen another one, but it was silver. The seat bolsters were ripped. Had a roll bar, structural damage, 80,000 miles, and it sold for 18 grand.
It's got like a 5-point, too.
Yeah, I have mine insured, I think, for 25, ooh, which I thought was like ridiculous for a C5. That's way too much. But might now wanna... I'm thinking, I'm in trouble if I have to replace this thing.
Might want
to
pump those numbers up there.
Because it is one of one light carmine red with tan interior, and it's got the Caravaggio seats and Beyer big brake kit and, you know, 373 rear end and all sorts of other stuff that this car didn't have. Like, I could not replace that if a structurally damaged car sold for $18K.
And even with what my pace car sold for earlier this year, I would expect your car to be way more valuable than a purple and stickered.
I guess so. Maybe I better check my insurance up at the 29.
Yeah.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
This story is a little bit old, but it never gets old. It is pretty epic. Lamborghini boat sinks off of the Miami coast with 32 people on board. Now, we're going to make fun of this before you think we are sadistic. Everybody was totally fine. Not a single bodily injury, maybe some injured egos. But Lamborghini boat. And the only reason we're talking about this is because it's automotive related. It's a Lamborghini boat.
It is. It even looks like a Lamborghini. It looks like it was designed by a 5-year-old. And appears to 10-year-old and appeals to 10-year-olds.
The 63-foot Technomar Lamborghini boat named TNT.
It's dynamite.
Yeah. Went down in shallow water shortly after 5 p.m. I believe this was also during the Miami F1 weekend. And there was 32 people on board, which was 20 more than its rated capacity.
Ooh, how many of them were influencers, Doug?
Oh, yes. Like all of them. I think it was 30 models / social media influencers on this boat. Now, to the boat for a minute, it's called the Technomar 63 to commemorate Lamborghini's first year of production, 1963. Do you know what their first car was, Tyler?
Oh, goodness. Wasn't it the, 350
GT? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say 400, but 350 comes before 400, Doug. Yes. So, that's how numbers work.
It'll reach a top speed of 63 knots thanks to its 2,000 horsepower power plant.
Good. How 2,000 horsepower?
Oh, yeah.
How many cylinders?
I don't know.
Many. All right. I'm gonna,
63.
Oh, that's a lot of cylinders.
Right. But honestly, I don't know why they didn't name it the Lamboat. There's a serious missed opportunity here. Serious.
Yes, but now, Doug, take a journey with me. The type of person that buys this boat takes themselves very seriously. And the Lamboat is not something that they would enjoy. It's not edgy or cool.
I just
doesn't
remembered
30 bikinied ladies onto it at the middle of an F1 race.
I just remembered. I take this opportunity to remind everybody that I had a 1972 Century boat that I named the Lamborghini.
Nice.
Had it in full Lamborghini script across the back. Yes, I did not take myself very seriously, and I also don't have enough money to buy a Technomar Lamborghini 63. So if I did, I would name it the Lamboat.
It has two man V12 engines.
Perfect.
So there's 24 cylinders of manpower.
I was gonna guess. So anyway, looking back at the actual sinkage of this craft, again, mostly influencers and models on board. One article stated that they made sure that a Louis Vuitton purse and a laptop made it off of the boat safely.
Somebody's got some stuff in there that,
Epstein's list was in that laptop. No one was injured. The boat capacity was 16. There's 32 people. However, they were determined not to be over the weight capacity, as the average weight of the person on board was 93 pounds.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When they calculate these maximum capacity figures, they don't count influencers. Because it's 16 like burly dudes, as many influencers as you want.
It's reported somewhere that multiple passengers were asking Siri how to swim, and many of them did not want to don life jackets as they were not made by Ralph Lauren. They did, however, have enough life jackets for everyone on board, which is an important law.
As they're passing them around, some dude just takes it and holds it. He doesn't even put it on.
Well, they were in shallow water and not far from shore. But anyway, although they did have enough life jackets for everyone, most of the females did not need to wear them as they already had permanently installed buoyancy devices. The EPA was concerned about the amount of plastic contamination in the water, though, after this. You know, and if their chest didn't save them, their heads would have, as they're all way overinflated and full of not much except hot air.
Doug, I'm going to need you to cite your sources for all of this journalistic material.
I said it supposedly was reported
somewhere.
This is real, though. Some of it. Some good Samaritans did assist with the rescue, because although the Coast Guard was right there because they were out patrolling anyway, they didn't have enough room for all of the people to come on board. So one private captain rescued and escorted 23 people back to shore on his boat.
Was
six
this-
or eight hours later. The men, however, had to be picked up by the Coast Guard.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you guys go. Ladies can come over here. I do like in the images and the videos of this, there is a boat that passes in front of a camera in front of the yes. Lamborghini boat, and there is an influencer woman posing on the bow. The bow's at the front, right?
Yes.
The bow job, of Taylor. The boat.
Of the rescue boat.
Yes.
While in the background, everyone else is still waiting to yep. be...
And now also, sink is a bit, it's a kind way to put it. It was essentially butt down in the water with its bow up in the air, stern down.
Stern, thank you. Yep.
Everybody was just kind of chilling and hanging out.
The
like
transom
it was, very,
was submerged.
Okay, we've gone too far. I don't understand what that is.
So, allegedly, the real cause of this likely was not that the boat was overloaded, but that it has this like retractable loading step, super fancy, right? But yes. It's not meant to be below the waterline. And it's also only meant to hold one or two people at a time when loading. So they think that maybe there's too many people loading on it at once and water got in there, or too many people were on the stern of the boat. And so that dipped below the waterline, and it is not a watertight seal. So that is a theory of how the boat got swamped.
Are you telling me, Doug, that a ramp that is like 6 inches above the water does not have any, the enclosure does not have any water sealing on it?
Correct.
Is this one of those like quirky Italian design things that everybody says that's personality and soul? Is there sitting bow
probably
up?
Well, you know, most often these boats are likely just docked and they have parties on them.
Oh,
on the dock.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Conor McGregor does own a Lamborghini Technomar boat.
This wasn't his, though, right?
This was not okay. his. All right. It might be said that he wouldn't have been able to find that many people to hang out with him on the boat. And if the Coast Guard tried to rescue him, he likely would have fought them off. But that's just what we've heard.
It does seem, though, that Mr. Ed Bolian really likes waterlogged Lamborghinis. So has he made an offer yet on the yacht? Do you think this will show up on the boat facts when somebody goes to find it next?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Let's go to the license plate game brought to us both literally and financially by Soul and Spine. If you're health is underwater.
Ooh.
And
you
would
back.
Like to feel better. If you are considering surgical options but want to see what your body can do for you when properly sorted out, go see Dr. Hoover at Soul and Spine. They specialize in sorting out the body.
Nice.
To possibly avoid major surgeries.
Love that.
Yes, they are wonderful. Soulandspine.com. And tell them you found us on Switchcast. Don't mention the Lamborghini boat when you're booking, though. They may not get that reference.
Just tell them, these guys made me laugh so hard, I threw out my back. Got permanent stitches or whatever you call it. Yeah, it's just,
That's great. Good. That's good. All right. The name of the game, Plate to Sample, and it is where we have a license plate, and we don't try to guess what it means. We try to guess what kind of car this is on, because this is all about stereotypes. We are all about stereotypes here. So, Tyler, take it away with the first one.
For you, Doug. Pretty sure this is a Montana plate. Egg taco.
Egg taco.
Egg taco.
Oh, 996 Aero Kit.
Yeah, come there you on, go. Right, look, I got to get you. I got to ease into it. Right. I don't want to make it too
theme
hard.
Here,
thank you, Mike B.
On theme here, this is from Travis Ray. IPLOUT. I pull out.
Oh. Is this a Mustang?
No.
Is it a Porsche?
No.
Okay, it's on brand. Oh. How is it has to be like, is it a Challenger?
No.
What the heck?
It is a Ford Raptor, and it is I Pull Out Beach Towing is his company. So
see, my head was in the gutter.
I don't know how many children he has, but
well, if it's any more than one, he's lying. All right, next up for you from Doug R. It's feature. So, you know, something isn't a blank, it's a feature.
Not a quirk, it's a feature.
This is a little bit of a software development humor for you in the audience. I knew Doug wasn't
going to get it. Am I missing some nerd thing?
Yes, you are.
Is it a Doug DeMuro car?
No. Oh, that's honestly, okay, that's a good connection, but it is not. This is a Volkswagen Beetle, because it's not a bug, it's a feature.
Oh, see, I just like quirks and features. Yeah.
Because of the Doug. The Doug
right,
really
the other
you.
Doug. Yeah. Yeah. Less popular. Okay. Sure. Next one. BMW grad.
BMW grad. Did we? If we did, I'm going to be real embarrassed because I do not remember.
We
what
did
it is.
Do this one.
We did? Is it on a
but
different
they
car?
They might
now?
Have upgraded.
Oh. It's not a BMW. It can't be a BMW.
Nope.
Okay. Is it a Mercedes?
Nope. It was a Porsche 718 GTS last time.
So they have a 911 now.
911 Carrera T.
Nice. Ooh, good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good choice. Andre C. sent in the next one. This one is Doug Truck.
Doug Truck.
So if you had a Doug Truck.
It'd be a OBS Suburban.
Quite far off. This is a different duck. So maybe think, what would you not have?
I'm not that popular. People don't have me on their license plate.
It's an F-150 King Ranch. Big old truck. I just like that it had Doug Truck.
All right. This one, ironically, on a flatbed. The car is on a flatbed, not the plate. The plate is on the car on the flatbed. Lawyer up.
Is that on an Eldorado?
No.
Oh, come. Well, then what do you?
I know.
What? I can't. I'm offended at this. What? It could be literally anything. Like, cause I'm like, what do lawyers drive? Probably like an E-Class or something. Like a 7 Series, an 8 Series,
BMW M440i.
Okay, I was thinking a little too highfalutin.
Yeah.
I like the plate, but like, a BMW, it's against the spirit.
I agree.
Depreciated, sent in by our own Dan Doucette. And they use the 8 correctly in this.
Wait a minute. We've had this one before.
Have we? Is it on a different? Hopefully it's different.
Hopefully, yeah. Is it a Rolls-Royce Phantom?
So very close.
It Bentley is, Arnage.
It's the Bentley.
I know that one because he sent it to me.
Did he?
And I didn't use it because you used your other one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. When did he? I think Dan must have forgot. Okay. I'm going back in.
That's one of
our
loyal listeners.
I'm going back in the archives. It is.
All right.
I
got one for you. I got one for you. Sent in by Bert. Low bid. Florida plate. Low bid.
Low bid. Somebody's very proud of themselves for not bidding a lot of money, I guess, to get something. It's a C6 Corvette.
Nope.
Low bid. Am I even close?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the C6 Corvette of Miami.
Of Miami.
It is a white 997 turbo cab.
Oh.
So maybe they're like, they do government contracting, or they buy houses or something. They're very successful at being the low bidder.
Oh, interesting. That's a, I wouldn't have gotten that at all.
Yep.
Alrighty, last one for you, Doug. I like this one a lot, even if it might be a little bit of a
That's a long a plate.
Reach. All right. You. It's just N roll.
N-R-O-L-L.
Yes, with a space in between.
N roll.
N roll. So like what comes I keep giving this guy hints. I should
Is it like a Nismo edition something or other?
No, but I see where you're going. Not quite.
Enroll, college.
Oh, other good?
Yeah.
But wrong.
Well, they could be in college.
They could be.
I thought they were like an admissions person.
So normally, you know, it's like rock and roll.
Buick.
Is the
rock and roll. Oh, so is it a Chevy truck like a rock?
Ooh, you're so close.
Like a rock and
roll.
You're
so much closer. It is an IROC Camaro.
Oh, yeah. It's really getting there, but not
really. I like that a lot. It's a good plate. Thank you, okay. Tom M., for sending that one in.
All right, last one for you from Matt Ruotsi.
Be kind to me, Matt.
S-H-E-N-G-N-S, shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Or sheenigans.
Sheenigans. Shenanigans is a Mustang.
No. Right track, but.
Is it like a muscle car?
Yeah.
Charger.
Challenger Hellcat.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my next one.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Thank you all for your submissions. And once again, thank you to Soul and Spine for sponsoring and creating this segment. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.